1984 by George Orwell. Disc 5. As he sat waiting on the edge of the bed, he thought again of the sellers of the Ministry of Love. It was curious how that predestined horror moved in and out of one's consciousness. There it lay, fixed in future time, preceding death as surely as 99 precedes 100. They could not avoid it. But one could perhaps postpone it. And yet instead, every now and again, by conscious, willful act, one chose to shorten the interval before it happened. At this moment, there was a quick step on the stairs. Julia burst into the room. She was carrying a tool bag of coarse brown canvas, such as he had sometimes seen her carrying to and fro at the ministry. He started forward to take her into his arms, but she disengaged herself rather hurriedly, partly because she was still holding the tool bag.
"Half a second," she said. "Just let me show you what I've brought. Did you bring some of that filthy victory coffee? I thought you would. You can chuck it away again because we shan't be needing it. Look here."
She fell on her knees, threw open the bag and tumbled out some spanners and a screwdriver that filled the top part of it. Underneath was a number of neat paper packets. The first packet that she passed to Winston had a strange and yet vaguely familiar feeling. It was filled with some kind of heavy, sand-like stuff, which yielded wherever you touched it.
"It isn't sugar," he said. "Real sugar, not saccharine sugar. And here's a loaf of bread, proper white bread, not our bloody stuff, and a little pot of jam. And here's a tin of milk. But look, this is the one I'm really proud of. I had to wrap a bit of sacking round it because..."
She did not need to tell him why she had wrapped it up. The smell was already filling the room. A rich, hot smell which seemed like an emanation from his early childhood, but which one did occasionally meet with even now, blowing down a passageway before a door slammed, or diffusing itself mysteriously in a crowded street, sniffed for an instant, and then lost again.
"It's coffee," he murmured.
"Real coffee.
It's inner party coffee. There's a whole kilo here," she said. "How did you manage to get hold of all these things? It's all inner party stuff. There's nothing those swine don't have, nothing. But of course waiters and servants and people pinch things. And look, I got a little packet of tea as well."
Winston had squatted down beside her. He tore open a corner of the packet.
"It's real tea, not blackberry leaves. There's been a lot of tea about lately. They've captured India or something," she said vaguely. "But listen, dear, I want you to turn your back on me for 3 minutes. Go and sit on the other side of the bed. Don't go too near the window, and don't turn round till I tell you."
Winston gazed abstractly through the muslin curtain. Down in the yard, the red-armed woman was still marching to and fro between the washtub and the line. She took two more pegs out of her mouth and sang with deep feeling,
"They say that time heals all things. They say you can always forget. But the smiles and the tears across the years, they twist my heartstrings yet."